In this evening's gospel, a very clear principle is taught by our Lord, the nature of the Sabbath, that the Sabbath is made for us. What does that mean? Well, if you go back to the very first chapter of the book of Genesis, we read that at the culmination of God's creation is the creation of the man and woman on day six, who are made in the image of God. And then from there, the Lord commissions them to be fruitful and to multiply and to go about the vocation that is theirs. But then, of course, we have day seven, which is the Sabbath. And God rests on the Sabbath, and he invites the man and the woman to do the same. So I think here's one of the fundamental principles of Holy Scripture, that any work we do comes out of Sabbath rest. It comes out of that place of being centered in Christ. And indeed, for us as Catholics, we appreciate this in a particular way. For of course, our Lord refers to what happened with King David when they went in to Abiathar the priest, and they ate what was called the bread of the presence. I love that. The bread of the presence. Who is in the tabernacle? The one who is present with us, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so anticipated hundreds of years before our Lord's incarnation and the institution of the Eucharist, this understanding of the bread of the presence is that anticipation of Holy Communion. And everything that we do flows from this Sabbath rest, this being in relation to Christ, particularly when it comes to the work of pastoral care. And so what I would like to do for a few minutes with you this evening is think about how the writer to the Hebrews understands the nature of Sabbath rest as being tied particularly to the virtue of hope. And then from there to think for a few minutes about what are the implications of this for pastoral care. One of my favorite verses in the letter to the Hebrews is the one that Judy read tonight. Hope is a sure and steadfast anchor for the soul. One of the themes in the letter to the Hebrews is this warning: be careful that you don't drift away from the Lord. Well, how do we counter such drifts? By the anchor of hope. And so the writer wants us to understand this key theme of the centrality of Christian hope. And listen again to how he speaks of it. He says, we are to be realizing the full assurance of hope to the very end. And then he says to us, we are to be encouraged to seize the hope that is set before us, to be diligent in realizing the full assurance of hope, and to seize the hope set before us to the end. Now, what is the very basis of our hope? Of course, it is God himself, that God who is true to his purposes. And what the writer to the Hebrews wants us to see is how at the very beginning of Scripture, in the book of Genesis, God's purposes and plans are anticipated and then fulfilled in Christ. At the very end of that reading, he says that Jesus is a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, Melchizedek is only mentioned in the Old Testament in the book of Genesis and Psalm 110. And then the only place he's mentioned in the New Testament is in the letter to the Hebrews, where he will get a very detailed treatment as we read more of this letter. But this is what we need to remember about Melchizedek. When he appeared to Abram, he offered bread and wine. And Melchizedek is a priest forever. And so the thing that the writer to the Hebrews wants us to understand is that the Eucharist is anticipated all the way back in Genesis 14. So that's the first dimension of God's faithfulness to his oath, which the writer speaks of. He says, there are two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to prove false. So the first is Melchizedek, the sign of Christ. What's the second dimension of God's promise and his oath? Well, he refers to Abraham. And Abraham, of course, was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac in Genesis chapter 22. And of course, in the end, Abraham does not have to sacrifice Isaac. And we're told that God will provide the sacrifice. And of course, there is a lamb caught in the thicket with a crown of thorns on its head. And so the second dimension of God's oath, of God's promise, is how Abraham and Isaac anticipate the cross. And Mount Moriah, where the sacrifice of Isaac was to happen, is the very place where the crucifixion occurred. So this is what the writer to the Hebrews wants us to understand. We are part of a grand story that has a faithful God that is true to his promise. He shows this oath through Melchizedek. He shows this oath through Abraham and Isaac. And of course, they both find their fulfillment in one person, Jesus Christ. And those who are developing more and more an appreciation and an understanding of what this means for our lives are people of hope, because we do see how God is true to his promises. And this thereby inspires us in the following way. Listen to these two verses. And we want each one of you to show the same diligence as those who came before you. So to show the same diligence. And then listen to what is said about Abraham. Now this is important. Abraham was given the promise that he would be the father of a son, but this promise was not fulfilled for another 25 years. And so the writer to the Hebrews, in speaking of Abraham, says, who through faith and patience inherited the promise. So for those of you involved in the ministry of pastoral care, at the very center of who you are is a life that is to be centered in the divine presence, in the reality of the Eucharist, in the realization that whenever we celebrate Mass, we see indicated again God being true to his oath, to his promise. And then we are to cultivate lives of diligence, of patient endurance. And indeed, how much has this been necessary over the last year as you've finished the course, but in a way cannot yet fully exercise this ministry, similar to Abraham awaiting for the birth of his son. So now let me just lead to an application of what this means. There's this beautiful quote from St. Thomas Aquinas that goes as follows. The word of the eternal Father, though containing all things within his immensity, willed to become small. This he did not by putting aside his greatness, but by taking to himself our littleness. He didn't put aside his greatness, said St. Thomas, but he took to himself our littleness. And this is exactly what the writer to the Hebrews is saying, that this is what we see in Christ, that he took to himself our littleness. And in a particular way, may I suggest that the ministry of pastoral care is a particular expression of the littleness of Jesus. The choice, the willingness to accompany people through times of great difficulty and great challenge. And hopefully to be able to instill within them, a particular attitude of hope. Because you see, so many people today think, and they've always thought, that suffering is visited upon us as a form of punishment. This is not the Christian understanding. The Christian understanding, as we see from the cross, is that suffering is the means by and through which we offer ourselves to God. That's exactly what Abraham did. That's what Jesus did, and that's what every saint always does, is they do not see their suffering as punishment, nor should we see COVID-19 in that way. But COVID-19 is an opportunity for the church in a particular way to understand that this is a means through which we offer ourselves to God, so that we can grow in diligence, that we can have the patient endurance of Abraham, and so that we can be people who sees the hope that is set before us. We do not know how God will fully use you in this ministry, but he will. And may I end with this quote from Saint Teresa of Avila, who, during a time of intense suffering in her own life, wrote these words: "Our sacred King still has much to give, and would never cease to give if he could find receivers." God will never cease to give to those who will receive him. And listen to what she says at the end. "He is never content to give us only what we desire." Isn't that beautiful? God wants to give us more than we desire. The writer to the Hebrews understood this. This is what it is to have hope, and this is what it is to live our lives from the Eucharist, because the Eucharist and the Sabbath have been made for us.